Hi, boys and girls. Like you, Santa is listening to the Merry Little Podcast of MyMerryChristmas.com. Oh, 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 oh.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock.
Merry Christmas and welcome to this, the 36th episode of the Merry Little Podcast of MyMerryChristmas.com. My name is Jeff Westover, the Merry Prankster at the Merry Forums of My Merry Christmas, which is a community of online Christmas, well, crazies, I guess you could say, who gather together year-round to celebrate Christmas, and we've been doing so for more than 27 years. Tis the season of Halloween, and the pumpkins are out, the leaves are falling, and folks are starting to get into the spirit of the celebration of the dead in whatever ways that they choose. I don't care much for the gore and the horror of Halloween, because when it comes to the dead, that's not what Halloween is really all about. It's about the celebration of the dead, and specifically loved ones, an idea that appeals to me on so many levels. Over the course of time and in many cultures, the seasons of Halloween and Christmas have long found commonality in the idea of going home to home, of greeting each other at the door, and wishing each other well, and even, whether at Christmas or at Halloween, playing for tricks or treats. At Christmas, it's called wassailing, but no matter how you slice it, there is no denying the connection that exists in these blended cultural traditions. On this episode of the Merry Little Podcast, we explore the trickier side of these traditions, the naughty little things done in the spirit of fun, the tricks, the pranks, the hoaxes, and the games that we play in the celebration of Christmas. Now, please note, when we say pranks, we're not talking about the millennial idea of YouTube pranksters who film themselves giving large gifts on Christmas morning to children that appear to be, most of the time, expensive gaming systems, things like an Xbox or a PlayStation. You've seen those videos on YouTube, haven't you? The kids rip open the wrapping paper, they see the logo of the gift, an Xbox or whatever, and then they freak out over their Christmas treasure, only to find out that when they open the box, it's actually a pair of socks or something like that. And then everybody laughs at the poor kid. And I don't know why people think this kind of thing is funny. I think it's just mean. I think it's a terrible thing to do to a child. Worst, filming it and preserving it on YouTube just extends the mean-spirited nature of the thing. True Christmas pranks are not meant to hurt. Sometimes, in fact, they draw a laugh from everybody. Here to illustrate this is our good friend, comedian Kip Adada.
I saw Daddy kissing Santa Claus underneath a mistletoe last night. He didn't see me creep down the stairs to have a peep. He thought that I was tucked up in my bedroom fast asleep. Then I saw Daddy tickle Santa Claus underneath his beard so snowy white. There must be some mistake. Was I really awake? I rubbed my eyes and moved in close, a better look to take. Seemed to mind. Then Daddy moved across the room to pour them both some wine. Then I saw Daddy fondle Santa Claus, and on his ear he nibbled now and then. I crawled across the floor, I hid behind the door, I left it open just a crack so I could watch some more.
Now that's a Christmas prank. I can recall playing that song for my family many years ago when my kids were quite little and thoroughly enjoying at first their looks of shock and then their naughty little giggles and watching as well the horrified look on my wife's face as I played this song and barely being able to make it to the end of the song without her absolutely killing me. That song is from the great Kip Adada, prankster extraordinaire and one of my all-time favorite comedians. The song, at least where I bought it, was included on Dr. Demento's CD of favorite novelty Christmas songs. But trust me, Kip Adada has other stuff out there that's just as clever, and we hope you look him up. Pulling off a good Christmas prank is an art that is learned slowly, and in my case at least, while I was quite young, I haven't pulled off a lot of Christmas pranks, but I can share with you the story of one Christmas when my mother, trying to teach us the art of anonymous Christmas giving, introduced us to the idea of the Christmas phantom. Now, this isn't hard, and I know it's hardly a novelty, but at the end of the day, this thing we call the Christmas phantom was nothing more than doorbell ditch. But through the backdrop of a foggy Christmas December California evening with a station wagon full of kids with the challenge of dropping a plate of Christmas cookies and then hitting the doorbell before a mad dash away from the scene of the crime, well, you have the makings of a great Christmas memory, and sometimes it's a hilarious Christmas prank. Of course, our first efforts were innocent. We made our sugar cookies and then donned our coats as Mom explained to us how it would all work. The three of us would have to do the delivery, meaning my brothers and I, one to scout traffic on in one direction and one to scout traffic in the other direction, and one who was fleet of foot to drop the goodies, hit the doorbell, and run. The first time doing this was wildly successful. We went, of course, to all of my mother's friends, so they were old. One of our first runs, I just about wet my pants in anticipation of getting caught. I was the designated runner, a very bad choice. But being about 9, I was just short enough then to be somewhat stealthy and dumb enough to jump into the bushes if I needed to. I dropped the plate, rang the doorbell, and then giggled my way down the street and around the corner where my mom was sitting in the car with the other kids. They could hear us from a mile away laughing, of course, as we piled back into the car. But over the course of the weekends of that Christmas season, when the Christmas phantom would run, we started to go after more high-risk targets, and that would be our friends as kids. And this is where the Christmas phantom got to be a lot of fun. We had not taken into account that the fame of the Christmas phantom had spread a little bit. People were actually kind of anticipating his arrival. Some would leave on their porch lights. They would repark their cars and do other things in order to catch the Christmas phantom in the act. It didn't help, of course, that my sister had made a flyer that said the phantom runs tonight, and then she plastered it all over the school. One of these high-risk targets was a friend of my big brother's, a high school track star, captain of the football team, student body president. Well, his dad was loaded, and they lived in a huge house, a house with a monster front yard with a really, really long driveway that was very well lit, and it was all patrolled by dogs. Cleverly, we made a plate of treats for the dog, but when my brother made his way to the door and put down the plate and was just about to reach for the doorbell, the porch light went on, and we all scattered in every direction. Now, I won't tell you the end of this story. I will only say that I've never seen my brother run so fast as he did that night, and what ensued was an epic chase that is still talked about in the little valley town of Lodi, California. And I will say as well that the Christmas phantom still runs today. He runs from my house, from the house of all my siblings, and now our grandchildren are learning the art of this simple Christmas prank.
Jingle, 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 jingle. Jingle bells, jingle all the way, ho-way.
what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight.
Oh, 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 jingle bells,
jingle all the way.
Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Boom, jingle-ling-a-ling, boom, jingle-ling-a-ling.
Now the ground is white, go it while you're young. Take the girls tonight and sing this sleighing song.
Just get a bobtail bay, 240 for his speed. Then hitch him to an open sleigh and crack, you'll take the lead. Come with us and hear those jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open.
Jingling, 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 jingling,
open sleigh.
Jingle bells, sung for us there by voicemail, may be one of the best of Christmas pranks. I'm talking about the song Jingle Bells, not necessarily that performance. It is the first big hit Christmas song that actually doesn't mention Christmas, Christ, stars, angels, or mangers. In fact, if you really know the words to Jingle Bells, you know it's a classic American song because it's really all about driving fast and picking up girls. Pretty heady stuff for a song from the 1850s. But Christmas in history is full of good humor and great pranks, and it dates almost all the way back to the earliest days of pioneering in Puritan America. In fact, the first ever Christmas prank recorded on American soil came from a practice called barring out. Christmas and winter in general was known for many children of the 16, 17, and 1800s as, well, the school year, when the harvest was over and before the spring planting could begin. Well, that was when children attended school. In those days, of course, schools were one-room affairs that tended to blend the ages of area children, so it was common to have 15-year-olds in with the 6-year-olds. The break in their school year was, of course, Christmas, which, contrary to popular belief, was a really long time of family gathering and visiting and feasting and festivities. And it was in the interest of children to get out for Christmas as quickly as they could. School got in the way of all that, but children were more or less expected to go to school until the headmaster left for his own Christmas celebrations. One of the best ways to get him or her to leave was to bar them out, which literally meant nailing the doors and the windows of the school shut. And this was a common thing. It was a big tradition recorded in journals from north to south in the colonies, and it was met with varying degrees of tolerance depending upon the temperament of the headmaster and of local law enforcement officials. Christmas pranks, of course, happen every year. In an upcoming episode of the Merry Podcast, hosted over at the Merry Forums, we'll get more into the pranks at Christmas on what I'm coming to call our naughty episode to be published soon. But before we sign off, let me share with you one last prank that I think should be in actual history books and taught in the schools. In episode 32 of the Merry Little Podcast, right here, we talked about Christmas in the 1960s, and we talked a little bit about Apollo 8 and the Christmas of 1968. Before that famous Christmas Eve broadcast of Apollo 8, there was another Christmas in space that made history. It was 3 years before, 1965. The flights of Gemini 6 and 7 famously made a rendezvous in space before parting their ways. Gemini was the program before Apollo that paved the way for exploration of the moon. And, of course, the astronauts, if you've ever seen the movie The Right Stuff, the astronauts of the space program were rock stars, really, of the era. They were known to people in the media. And so when they got together, there was a little broadcast over the radio, and people heard this happen. Just as they were getting ready to re-enter Earth's atmosphere, they reported on Gemini 6 that they had sighted a strange kind of UFO. "We have an object," astronaut Thomas P. Stafford reported, causing hearts at Mission Control in Houston to nervously skip a beat. "It's moving," he said. "It looks like a satellite going from north to south, probably in polar orbit. Looks like he might be going to re-enter soon. You just might let me pick up that thing. I see a command module and 8 smaller modules in front. The pilot of the command module is wearing a red suit." Then ground control heard a first in space. Music played first for the first time ever on instruments ever taken into space. A little toy harmonica and a small set of bells had been smuggled aboard and were played to perfection to the tune of Jingle Bells. After Houston breathed a sigh of Christmas relief, history had been merrily made, and those simple little instruments now sit in the Smithsonian National Air and Space Museum in Washington, D.C. Well, there's a lot more on this topic to explore, and it's a fun topic. Every single bit of it is fun. So join us at the Merry Forums of MyMerryChristmas.com for the full hour-long episodes of the Merry Podcast, where we will soon be sharing more of the greatest pranks at Christmas, including presidential pranks. For the Merry Family at the Merry Forums of MyMerryChristmas.com, this is Jeff Westover wishing you and yours a very Merry Christmas. The music and creative works you heard in this episode of the Merry Little Podcast was used by permission of the artist, which we do for each and every episode of the Merry Podcast and the Merry Little Podcast. If you are an artist with something to share with our audience, please contact me, Jeff, at MyMerryChristmas.com, and we'll talk about it.